A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he put this question to his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But you," he said, "who do you say I am?" Then Simon Peter spoke up, "You are the Christ," he said, "the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are a happy man, because it was not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So I now say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of the underworld can never hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be considered bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be considered loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Anyone who's studied Roman history, at least in the English-speaking world, will almost certainly know the book From the Gracchi to Nero by H.H. Scullard, History of Rome from 133 BC to AD 68, The Death of Nero. It's a book that covers Roman history very concisely. In the last chapter it says something which seems a bit surprising. He points out something that's simply true, that all the events he has described in Roman history were to become trivialized or relativized by an event which history barely recorded, a series of events in the corner of the Roman Empire, which was to lead to Christianity eventually taking over the whole of the Roman world. Scullard's father was a minister, I presume he was a Christian himself, but not necessarily. What he's saying is simply a fact. It's an extraordinary fact. And when you read Roman history, what's extraordinary is how you can read chapter after chapter without any mention of Jews or Christianity or God. And it's just a fact. These events in this obscure corner of the Roman Empire were to transform the empire. And in fact, allow the empire to survive in memory, at least as an aspiration. We remember Rome because of the monks who copied out so many of the great events of Roman history, of its writings. Not all of them, but enough to keep us in mind. And Rome itself became an aspiration for many Christians who perhaps misunderstood the true nature of Christian reality. It doesn't need empires. It doesn't need human power. That big fact comes from the victory of Peter and Paul. Beginning of the great work of St. Augustine, the City of God, he talks about the last victory and the perfect peace which the church will obtain. Victoria Ultima. He's the translator that is ultimate victory. It makes it sound like a complete victory we'd get here on earth. But Augustine is very clear that that victory is never quite won. Christianity never quite achieves its victory on earth. It transforms, it alters, it stands as a rebuke to society. Sometimes it's as a beacon to society, a sign of hope. But the victory never quite comes, not just yet. The fantastic thing is that it's achieved so much already. Peter and Paul are both people who spent much of their life carrying this word, this truth, from prison, from the places where they were punished, where they were thrown out of their homes, out of their land, where they were forced out of towns. In Paul's case, often terribly tortured. I have a site, a sermon on the website torch.op.org, that's my province's site, about Peter and Paul, which I've called Beloved Criminals, because that's what they were in the eyes of the world, criminals. They're living nowadays that they wouldn't get a visa to go to the United States. They have great difficulty. And yet they won. It's a victory that is slow, relentless, and never complete. Because if it was complete, then human life would have come to an end. Human history would have ended. There would be a real end to history. And Augustine's point is, life doesn't end till Christ comes, till we enter into the kingdom in his grace. But for all that, there is a battle, And Augustine saw it between humility and pride, or lowliness and pride. That sense that the human being will always find their true worth, true victory, not in themselves, not in any thought of theirs, but in God. The need to worship makes us human. And Peter and Paul are victors. They preach not a truth, but the truth, the source of all truth, the Christ, says Peter, the Son of the living God. It's not important facts you have to give us in, but the fact we must have. They preach the truth they have known and cannot let go of. A truth so great that Peter and Paul themselves don't hold the whole of that truth in themselves. They can't, like Peter and Paul, disagree at times about how they should preach that truth, its full meaning, where Paul teaches things that Peter hadn't thought of. Paul goes deeper. Peter, on the other hand, is the one who opens up the church to the Gentiles. It's simplistic to suggest that Paul is the inventor, the revolutionary, and Peter is merely the administrator. Peter leads the way and leads us out to the boundaries as well. And both of them end up as martyrs. Both appear to be lives which will end in obscurity. They appear to be people who will be forgotten. But we don't forget them. How can we, this great feast? Peter and Paul, like their master Christ, loom large over society. Never depressed, never forgotten. The victory cannot be won yet, because the victory is, as Augustine says, also perfect peace. Perfect peace comes at the end of time, the end of all human lives and human history. But it's being won. It is advancing. We go forward, and nothing will prevent it. It's why my favourite word in the whole Bible, Old New Testament anyway, is the last word of the Acts of the Apostles, where Paul is still teaching, even though he's under escort and expecting to go to trial. That last word is unhindered. That little moment when the church goes forward, he can speak to people for a while, and all the things that try to hinder him fail. There may be times when the church seems to shrink, its message gets obscured, distorted, forgotten. Always it goes a little forward. Always there are moments when it is simply unhindered. That's all the victory we need. A little further forward, a little nearer to the truth, a little nearer to God.